Let's take a moment to turn to the Lord in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, who are here present with us in the most blessed sacrament, draw us into a deeper silence. Draw us into a deeper friendship with you. Open our hearts to receive your love. Teach us and move us to love our brothers and sisters, especially those most abandoned and most forgotten, most neglected, the poor and the poorest of the poor. Lord Jesus, help us especially to be filled this weekend with your love, filled to overflowing, so that that love may flow forth from us throughout the rest of our lives. Teach us to have the heart of Mary, a heart that is open to your grace, a listening heart, an attentive heart, a heart that longs for you, a heart that thirsts for you, a heart that settles for nothing other than you. Give us the heart of Our Lady. We entrust ourselves and we entrust this time to you now through her intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can hear me okay? I'm not getting a lot of sound back to me, but am I reaching the back? Can you hear me all right? Is that it's coming through the speakers? You can't even hear that I'm asking you a question, apparently. I'm not getting anything at all. Okay, we'll just try to hold this. That'll probably be better, I'm sure. Yep. Don't know why they made this microphone this way, I think. Anyway, they made the thing too far away, or I'm too short or something to bend over. I'm not sure what that is. Well, as I mentioned, I think it is so providential. I see it as being so providential that our retreat is spanning the Visitation and Corpus Christi. Those two great feasts being an indication for us. And we have a little St. Justin martyr in the middle, in case anybody needed a clear example of how to live those things out in this world of violence and the rejection of Christianity. We have St. Justin martyr's great example. St. Justin martyr, who's also really a beautiful teacher about the Eucharist. If you've read his accounts on the Eucharist, his apologetic, in the second century, you would think that he had just attended Mass this past Sunday. It's really remarkable. The way that he describes the elements of the Eucharist that he describes really could have been from one of our parish churches a week ago. Just remarkable to see the continuity of the church over 2,000 years. But that's truly one of our strengths. So we have the very recent phenomenon of Mother Teresa, right? That's what captures our hearts at this moment. But we know that Mother Teresa herself was inserted into a flow that is 2,000 years going back to the Lord. And of course, the great span of salvation history going all the way back to the beginning. When God created the world, he already had you and me in mind. And he was already working out a path by which he could bring us together into one family. Very beautiful. Pope Francis just started a new series of catecheses on Wednesday, speaking about the church. And his first catechesis was on the church as family. And that's God's big plan. God's big plan is to make us into one family and to help us really see each other as brothers and sisters and help us to really see ourselves as his children, his beloved children. That's our identity. And that's what we often lose sight of. We lose sight of the fact of who we are. And then we lose sight of who everybody else is. And all of that needs to keep being recalibrated. So that'll be one of the fruits of this weekend, just to have the simple remembrance of who we are, and then who our brothers and sisters are, and then God's great plan that He calls us together into one family. And that's the wonderful thing, you know, doesn't everybody want to be the sister of Mother Teresa, the brother of Mother Teresa? Well, bingo, got it. That's what we are in Christianity. We're a brother and sister. It's so silly, you know, we can get so, wow, I wonder what it was like to be Mother Teresa's brother. Well, that's what we are. That's what we are. We're her brothers and sisters, her children also, as she is our mother. But we have these real familial relationships. They're not just analogies. They're not just cute phrases. They're not just things, you know, because I don't know how to address you, I call you brothers and sisters. No, I really mean that. And we keep growing into that. We have to keep meaning that more and more. We can keep going deeper and deeper into those expressions, which can become, they can become trite. We can allow them to become trite, or they can become infinitely deep. And that's our choice, whether we choose to go into them to really treat people as our brothers and sisters. So like I said, we have the blessing of being kind of, well, we're really one family in a very particular way, one spiritual family here as lay missionaries of charity. I have the blessing of sharing with you my Benedictine family also. We'll be especially together with them at Vespers Sunday night. For Corpus Christi, we always have solemn Vespers with benediction, and we'll have adoration all afternoon in the Basilica. And I really encourage you, it's very beautiful to pray in the Basilica with the Blessed Sacrament exposed on the altar. There's just something, just something very special about that. It's always hard to characterize exactly, you know, one grace. Well, we're here with the Blessed Sacrament here, and, you know, anyway, we can't measure all of those things perfectly. But in any event, we have some space, some time on Sunday afternoon, so I really encourage you to take some of that time in the Basilica in adoration. As I mentioned, a key fruit of this weekend is to remember who we are fundamentally as Christians, to remember who we are as children of God, and then to remember who everyone else is as our brothers and sisters. And then we remember who we are in a particular way also as lay missionaries of charity, being in that family that was formed by Mother Teresa, and that family that has a special vow, a vow of free and wholehearted service to the poorest of the poor. I have kind of a funny experience being a Benedictine and working with you as lay missionaries of charity. When we have our meetings here and we pray the rosary and we renew our vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, I can't exactly renew my vow of free and wholehearted service to the poorest of the poor because I didn't make that vow. I made different, a little bit different vows as Benedictines, but I have a great love for that vow at the same time. And that's one of the fruits of this weekend is deepening that identity, who we are as lay missionaries of charity. One of the things that I want to do throughout the weekend is have some silence, but I want to maintain some talking at dinner, but I want it to be directed conversations at lunch and dinner. We can do a lot of chatting about different things, and I think everybody's so good-hearted here, we tend to go in good directions, but I just like to direct that conversation a little bit. And one of the things I want you to reflect on and then hopefully share with each other, why MC? Why LMC? Why not Carmelite or Franciscan or Benedictine or Dominican or any of the other countless groups? Why LMC? Each of us has a particular story, and it'd be wonderful to share that story with one another. Sometimes we don't get the chance to share our initial story of contact, how you came to know the sisters, how you came to know Mother, how you came to stumble on the webpage and decide to look into the LMCs. How did God direct you to this family? Why this family? What's been the attraction? So there's a beautiful thing that each one of us has, that story that each one of us has. But then what is it about the LMCs? There's something that brought you there and there's something that keeps you there. What keeps you there? It just, you know, nothing better has come along. Hopefully not. Hopefully you've been able to deepen the reality of what LMC is in your experience of that. And you who are newer or don't have, maybe this is your first exposure to LMC is this weekend. And that's great too. So you'll be able to learn from some others who are there with you at a table and have the chance to share some of that conversation. But anyway, I invite you to reflect on that question. Why LMC? What is it about that? What keeps you there? What makes the difference? And then why a group at all, right? I mean, why can't you just live out your Christian faith in your parishes? Why can't you just, you know, be a normal part of the parish and do the normal parish things? And, you know, why do you need a religious family at all to associate with? What does this family mean? What does this do for us to be part of the LMCs? Why is it worth committing to? Because it takes sacrifices to remain part of the group. And Father Sebastian's very clear about that. I had to hear it a few times to be sure that he was really that serious about it. But he definitely is. He really wants a commitment. And, you know, if we're just missing meetings, if this is just a sideline, if it's kind of a hobby in our spiritual life, well, then, you know, it's great that you can come for meetings and there's a nice fellowship and whatever else, but you're not an LMC in vows then. But to make vows, to make that commitment to the LMCs, it means something. And we gauge meaning by sacrifice. When we sacrifice to make something possible, that determines how serious we are about it. So why is that? Why do you sacrifice to be part of the LMCs? Why not just, you know, be normal parish people? It's nothing, God accepts normal parish people into heaven, turns out. I asked him before we started this just to make sure, and he assured me that normal people who live in parishes, and they also get into heaven. So when you don't have to be an LMC to get into heaven. Why be an LMC? And something has to take us back to that fourth vow, that special vow. Essentially, every religious order makes a vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience. We have some different understandings of that. You may recognize in being here that we don't have Franciscan poverty. Franciscan poverty is trying to live in real destitution, like the Son of Man who has no place to lay his head. That's not the poverty of the Benedictines, obviously, right? You walked around campus. We own all of this. I own all of this. How about that? It's a very funny experience to own everything and nothing at the same time. Benedictines have a communal notion of poverty, which is what I just said. I own everything and nothing at the same time. Everything belongs to us. Personal responsibility and communal property. So I actually sign a paper, and legally the abbot has power of attorney over me. So he can access my bank account, he can whatever, he can pull the plug on me when I'm dying, he can do whatever he wants to do. There's a legal realization to my Benedictine poverty, in any event. That fourth vow that the LMCs make is something that sets the MCs and the LMCs apart from other religious orders. That commitment to a free and wholehearted and free service to the poorest of the poor. It has to be free. It has to be wholehearted. And again, if I can just bring us back into the liturgical celebrations that are bookending our time together, the Visitation. What a beautiful feast. We'll have a chance to discuss it more as we hear the readings and enter into the prayers of the Mass. But what a beautiful feast. In the Visitation, Our Lady made haste. She made haste to help her cousin Elizabeth. As Mother Teresa said so regularly, in the Annunciation, she received Jesus. In the Visitation, she brings Jesus to the one who is in need. And in a particular way, it's an LMC feast because she brings Jesus to the one in need in her own family. Isn't that right? That's one of the things that sets the LMCs apart a little bit from the MCs. The MCs are living in very desperate situations, are working with very desperate people, working with the poorest of the poor in a very radical sense. But one of the reasons that Mother Teresa was so excited about the LMCs is that we have the opportunity to bring Jesus to places that the MC sisters will never see, especially in our own families. Maybe Elizabeth was not available to the MC sisters didn't get there before Our Lady did, right? Well, of course, Our Lady's the first MC. But anyway, we don't have to go through all of that. But the point is that Our Lady brought Jesus to this poor one who was in her own family. Certainly not materially poor, but poor all the same. So Our Lady goes in haste. I want to share a little word with you that's hot off the press from Pope Francis. He talked about this mystery of the visitation today, a little earlier today. And I want to read this word to you because, like I said, I see this first evening. I told you that a retreat kind of begins after your first overnight. That's not to say that this first evening is throwaway. You know, that's not the point. We just throw this off. It doesn't matter. It's a waste. No, it's not the point at all. But we have to calibrate a little bit, set our hearts and minds in the right direction. And that really gets plugged in our sleep, in our dreams. And when we wake up, we're moving in that direction. So what's the setting? I already gave you one point. We want to reflect on who we are, why we're here. Who we are as Christians, in a fundamental way, who we are as LMCs, why we stay as LMCs, what that fourth vow means. But then the other way that I want to set your mind and heart as we enter into this weekend is really for an attitude of prayer. All this rambling on that I do is not the most important part of this weekend. Believe me, I ramble on all the time. It doesn't make a difference in my life. I mean, I don't know why it's going to help you. But anyway, I just want to set your heart and open you to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you throughout this weekend. Well, how the Lord wants to speak to you in your prayer. How the Lord wants to reach your heart. That's what we really need. We really need the time in silence. We need the time in prayer. That's what's really going to make a difference. That's what's going to give us something that we can take away from this weekend and can keep making a difference in our lives. So I'm hoping that the Lord will use me to provide a word or two that will help to move your prayer. But that prayer is so essential. So essential. And like I say, especially that silent time in prayer. We're going to have adoration all night the next two nights. I want you to have some sleep tonight. So we're not going to have adoration tonight, but we'll have adoration the next two nights. Like I said, Sunday afternoon, all afternoon, there'll be adoration. And you're always welcome to come in here. This chapel is going to be available essentially the whole weekend for us. So you should always feel free to come in here. And you can wander around and find some quiet places on the campus. I'm going to ask as much as you can, you know, barring someone bleeding their eyes out and needing medical attention, keep silence in your residence also, so that people who are trying to pray alone in their rooms aren't disturbed by people talking in the hallway, so that when you're in an interior space and you have some silence, you don't walk out and you run into people and they're, you know, chatting on. So if you have to talk to each other, are there important meetings and people want to catch up, I encourage you to make that secondary, make listening to the Lord primary. But even if you have to do that, maybe go outside, find a different space so that you can really keep the silence in your residence, in the dormitory, and then also in this chapel. Let's try to really keep the silence in this chapel before and after Mass. Sometimes we have to work out some details, you know, what Rocio is going to play on for us, and we might have to work out some details, what page we're on, but no chatting. Let's try to keep all of the chatting out of the chapel and out of the dormitory. So those spaces always can be silent. And then we'll try and basically keep silence throughout the day tomorrow. And we'll see how that goes. and we'll work on Sunday from there. But just to try and really make the Lord primary, listening to the Lord primary, and give your neighbor the opportunity to do that too. It's one of the problems. We finally get religious people together, and we want to do a lot of talking because a lot of times we're surrounded by people who aren't very religious. We don't have people who have the same mind as us, the same thinking as us, and so there is an excitement. There's something beautiful about being together. That's why I want to definitely have talking at meals. I think that's important. Some directed talking so we can share in some good directions and. Anyway, let's start by just making tomorrow at least a silent day and talking at meals and then throughout the whole weekend, definitely the chapel and the dormitory, really try to keep silence there so that we can listen to the Lord. So that leads me into what Pope Francis was saying, and particularly about Our Lady, in terms of the visitation. Pope Francis has given us a structure for all of his homilies. They all consist of three words. The first word that he looks at with Our Lady is listening. Our Lady listens. Our Lady of listening. And so that's the one word that I want to leave you with tonight. The next two words, which are decision and action, that's not for today. We don't need to make decisions and actions today. We need to do the listening. Our Lady of Listening. And I think it would help, we'll let Pope Francis teach us a little bit. I'm just going to read this little section that he has on listening. He says, "Where does Mary's action of going to her cousin Elizabeth spring from? From the word of God's angel, your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son." So you see that connection that he just made. I just gave you the summary. She received Jesus in the Annunciation. She served him in the Visitation. But there's a little bit of in-between detail there. How did she know who to go serve? How did she know to go in haste to Elizabeth? Because she was listening. She was listening to the angel. She was listening to what God had to say to her. She was listening to the big news. You're going to be the mother of God. That's the big news. But she was also listening to that next bit of news. And your kinswoman Elizabeth is pregnant. She's older. She needs help. Mary could make all of those connections. But you see how powerful that is. Where is Mary's mind? She has just been told she is going to be the mother of God. She is a virgin who has just been told that she now carries the Son of God in her womb. How tempting it would be to become completely self-focused. Completely self-focused. To just be focused on that big news that the angel gave her. Wow, what does this mean? How easily she could have thought, well, you know, what are my mom and dad going to say? How's Joseph going to respond? What's going to happen now? Do I need to move out? Do I need to go somewhere else? She had a lot of concerns that she could have taken up and become completely self-absorbed. But she heard another word in there. There's someone who needs help. I can go help her. That's where Our Lady is, always going out of herself, always seeking, always looking outside of herself. It makes me think of a story. One of my confreres, Father Justin, he preached one of the homilies in our last national retreat when you all were here. And he studied in Rome and took the time to volunteer at the Gift of Mary House in Rome. And he got there one evening, you know, and he was told, he went with another one of my confreres who had been teaching in Rome for a number of years and was very veteran. And Father Kurt said to him, you know, just because you're going to the MCs doesn't mean Mother Teresa's going to be here. She's not in every Missionary of Charity house. And he said, oh, I know. I just want to go and I want to pray with them and spend some time there. And so they went there and he went into the chapel. You know, it's completely empty. As you know, there's no chairs. There's no, you know, just a mat on the floor. And he just went and they were going to start Vespers and then Adoration and Benediction. And then he just picked a random spot, you know, and put himself down there. And one of the sisters walks up about 5 minutes later and she says, Father, could you move just a little bit to the right? He's like, it's a completely empty room. And he's sitting, you know, in a random place. Could you move just a little bit to the right? He thinks, well, okay, whatever. So, you know, he obediently moves a little bit to the right. Well, a few minutes later, Mother Teresa comes in and places herself right where he had been. And so there he is next to Mother Teresa. Well, Mother Teresa, the whole time, was like Our Lady. She just was completely focused outside of herself. She was looking at Father Justin, making sure. He said that she had as many fingers in his book as he did. You know, she's like changing the pages for him and fixing the thing for him, getting him on the right page, and just completely focused outside of herself. Mother Teresa, great as she was not into herself. Everybody else was into Mother Teresa, but Mother Teresa was not into Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was into however she could reach out to help. And that's how Our Lady is. She's listening, not just for the things that are about her, not just for what God wants to tell her about her, but where can I help? Where can I serve? So Pope Francis continues, Mary is able to listen to God, but pay attention. This is not a simple, superficial hearing. It is a listening which consists of attention, welcoming, and openness toward God. It is not the distracted way with which we sometimes place ourselves before the Lord or others. We hear the words but do not truly listen. Mary is attentive to God. She listens to God. That deep listening, that's what we want to do. It's hard out in the world. It's hard to tune our ear to what God is saying. It's hard to tune our ear to His voice. And sometimes the voices, the soundtracks of our past become much louder than God's voice. As I mentioned, we live in a society that's very unwelcoming to Christianity. It's very unwelcoming to the Lord. And sometimes the angry, you know, why are you wasting your time? Why are you bothering with this? You know, why don't you get a job? Why don't you do something useful? Those things can come in us, or the feelings of failure and voices beating ourselves up about different things. Some of those things can become very loud in us. That's why it's so important to come as you are on retreat and to take this time to recalibrate, to let some of those other voices diminish and allow the Lord's voice again to emerge, to not just have a superficial, distracted listening, but a deeper listening to how He is speaking to us. We had the chance on the last national retreat, and it's something that I do promote as much as I can, but one form of deep listening is the practice of Lectio Divina. It's a way of deep listening with Scripture. And it's one of the things that we do when we're taking the Scripture, and we can really see in some way Pope Francis having done this too with his homily. You know, how many people read that line, "Your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son," and noted the significance of that and noted what that teaches us about Our Lady. But we can do that deep listening in Lectio Divina just by a gentle repetition of that word. "Your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age." In her old age. And we can reflect more deeply. What does it mean that she's in her old age? And what challenges are there for her? What needs does she have? And maybe we worry about, maybe in our old age, we fear that we're going to be fruitful or that are fruitless or that we already are fruitless. I'm worthless now. I'm useless in my old age. But here she is in her old age. And God has done something so beautiful in her life and has given us by her obedience, her trust, her surrender, has given us this beautiful mystery of the visitation, all in her old age. You see how when we stop with Scripture, when we reflect more deeply, every word is intentional. If God didn't want it to be there, it wouldn't be there. Scripture is God's word to us. The Holy Spirit is the author of sacred Scripture. We know all of the things about the human authors, and all of that has its own importance, but fundamentally, the Holy Spirit is the author of sacred Scripture. And if there was a word that was useless, it wouldn't be there. God doesn't do anything that's useless. It's all meaningful. But taking the time to listen deeply, to allow those words to resonate, to allow those words to start to bring in our lives as well. That's how we do some of that deeper listening. And it's a beautiful practice, especially we're all very committed to our faith, and to take a little bit of time every morning with the gospel for the day. Just that much. 15, 20 minutes. It doesn't take very much, but for a deep listening, we might just cover three words of the gospel. It's not about getting through things. It's not about achieving, reading the whole thing, whatever. It's just about trying to have a deep listening. The Scripture is always God's word to us. So we can learn from Our Lady how to do that deeper listening. Then Pope Francis goes on to say, in addition to listening to God, Mary also listens to reality. That is, she reads the event of her life. She is attentive to concrete reality and does not stop at the surface, but goes into the depths to grasp its meaning. Her cousin Elizabeth, who is already advanced in years, is expecting a child. This is the reality. But Mary is attentive to the meaning. She can grasp it. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And he goes on to say, this is also true in our lives, listening to God who speaks to us and listening also to everyday situations, attention to people, to reality, because the Lord is at the door of our lives and He knocks in many ways. He places signs along our path. He grants to us the ability to see them. Mary is the mother of listening, attentive listening to God, and likewise attentive listening to life's events. So Pope Francis is teaching us something that's so essential and so beautiful, and it bears very much on the wholehearted and free service to the poorest of the poor. What he's saying is that we have to listen to reality, the reality of what is happening around us. It can be something as simple as, I'm waiting in an airport and the plane is delayed, and I'm angry about that because I don't want the plane to be delayed. That didn't help the plane to get there faster. But we can become so angry and resistant to accepting reality. The reality is the plane is delayed. And likewise, even with our own shortcomings and failures, even with our own weaknesses, we might wish that we were someone else or we could do things in a different way. But the reality is we are who God made us, and we do things in the way that we do them. And they don't all go the way that we want them to. That's reality. We can listen to we can be attentive to the events of reality, the reality in ourselves, the reality of the things that are happening, the reality of other people. Because when we start to serve the poor, it's very easy to start asking, we have to recognize, first of all, the reality. And then as Christians, we have the ability to listen beyond that. That's what Pope Francis is teaching us. There's a meaning. There's always a meaning there. And where does that meaning come from? How do we find that meaning? Well, the meaning behind all of reality is the Logos, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. St. John says in his Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, in Greek, Logos. That's related to the word logic. That's also the word meaning. It's the word for word. It's also reason. It's a very rich meaning in Greek, as you can see. In the beginning was meaning, is another way we could translate that. And that meaning was with God, and that meaning was God, and all things were created through Him. So all things have passed through the meaning that was in the beginning. Now, what is the meaning that's in the beginning? Crazy, oppressive tyranny? Angry, destructive, random forces? No, the meaning that's in the beginning is love. The meaning that's in the beginning is love. The Father loved the Son and pours out that love on us. And everything was created through that love. Everything was created through meaning. And when we look at the underlying meaning, we always know that the meaning is love. Now, it can be hard to figure out exactly how to get from here to there all of the time, but we know that the end point is always love. And that's so important. Because when we start serving the poorest of the poor in our families or in the streets, we inevitably come up against the wall. Why is this all here? Is there going to be an endless number of people who come to this homeless shelter? Is there going to be an endless number of days that my alcoholic brother-in-law is going to keep causing problems? Why is this happening? We're always coming back to that question. Why? Why is this happening? Why? What is the meaning of this? But we can always come back to the Lord, and we know that the meaning is love. God is working love through this. God is not always working perfection through this. Sometimes the alcoholic brother-in-law never gets over his alcoholism. And there can be a lot of pain from that. And certainly we do what we can to limit the amount of abuse or destruction or whatever there is there. But primarily, there's an opportunity for charity. And if we can persevere in love, that alcoholic brother-in-law may be more of an opportunity for charity than our other brother who's perfect in everything and doesn't need any help. There's nothing that limits charity more than someone who is perfect in everything and doesn't need any help. Now, the reality is that that person doesn't actually exist, but they think they do. Sometimes we think we do, are perfect in everything and don't need any help. And when we're not perfect, we're going to pretend that we are perfect, lest we would get any help. Am I striking a chord? We're telling you my autobiography. Anyway, charity. Charity is the meaning behind everything. And that's how God brings us together as one family, not just by applying a name to us, son, daughter, brother, sister. Charity is what makes us one family. Our attention to one another, our love for one another. And if one of our brothers or sisters is weaker, that's more opportunity to be more united. Praise God. Mother Teresa got excited when she saw poor people she could take care of. She didn't want people to be poor, but she ran to them. She made haste. Our Lady heard that there was someone she could take care of. She made haste. She went after that one. And sometimes that requires some perseverance, and sometimes that can be very difficult. But if we can always come back to that truth, that the meaning is love, God is working all things toward love, toward the good. God is working charity through all of this. That's the meaning. When God saw our suffering, He responded by sending His Son. So Our Lady sees reality as it is. She's not in denial, but she also sees a meaning there. She sees God's hand at work. I love a number of you had a number of troubles this past week, and many of you said, I know why this is happening. The evil one wants to get me really angry and wants to get me to even quit and not come to this retreat. God has great plans for me. See, that's seeing meaning. It's seeing the reality. It was difficult. You face difficulties getting to this point. That's reality. But what's the meaning? The meaning is that God is allowing you to persevere and exercise virtue. The devil is trying to frustrate and take you to a different place. That's an underlying meaning. And that's what we start to see more and more as we have a deeper listening, a listening that's more like Our Lady. So like I said, this retreat time is a special time. Maybe you'll have a chance to revisit some of the events of your own life and recent history. You'll be able to see the meaning. Sometimes the meaning's clearer when we look back on things. Sometimes we have to stay in the mystery of not knowing exactly why things are happening, but at least being able to affirm God is in control and it's heading to a good place, even if I don't understand exactly what the details are of that. But we can do that better here in the silence, here in the place of prayer, here with brothers and sisters who support us and are of like mind and heart. We can take that work to look at reality, to listen deeply, to see the real events, but also then to look at the meaning of what is happening. All of that helps us to live out that vow, that free and wholehearted service to the poorest of the poor. I'm going to stop there, and we're going to pray evening prayer. And by the time we're done with evening prayer, my hope is that Father Desi and company have arrived. And then we will be able to have Mass. Is Barb there? There she is. Did we get the Magnificat? Amazing. Father Boniface was nearly coordinated. It's one of my afflictions, is to be nearly coordinated, which tends to not quite get us where we need to be. But fortunately, Barb is fully coordinated, as are the staff in the events and conference services. So this is one of those places that I need a lot of help. We have evening prayer for the visitation, and I worked really hard to get everything on two pages so that we could avoid staples. You'll see how that worked out. But in any event, I trimmed things down a little bit, just in the sense that I'll lead the intercessions, and what's the other thing? Well, the Our Father, you already know. So I'll lead you in the intercessions. You just need the response. And then the Magnificat is on a separate page. I actually meant to print out one that had music on it, and that was one of my failures. So we'll have that for tomorrow anyway, and we can sing the Magnificat. To get my own. Could I have a volunteer to do the reading? Okay, so just you'll just come up after the third psalm, just, and then you can use the microphone and do the reading.
How's this one go again? What do you usually do for that?
It's Friday morning, so.
You maybe know the tune to this hymn.
Swiftly you journey to the hills of Judah. Swiftly you journey to the hills of Judah. Virgin and mother, treasuring your secret, eager to render service to another, favored by heaven.
Great. Okay. You know that well enough. If I can pick the first notes out, we'll be in good shape. And then why don't we sing the Magnificat? Being the visitation, I just have a hard time holding myself back here. We'll just do a simple tone. I'll have notes for you tomorrow. And the other thing that we do is just combine I'll just sing the first six lines so you can hear how this flows together, and then it kind of repeats in groups of four.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit.
Oh, your prose. Great. We'll be fine. And then why don't we be, we'll go ahead and recite the psalmody, but why don't we be choir one on this side, and you all be choir two over there. All right, and let's pray.
God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Swiftly you journey to the hills of Judah. Virgin and Mother, treasuring your secret, eager to render service to another, favored by heaven. Your words of greeting thrill the little Baptist, stirred by the coming of the unborn Savior, prompting his mother to declare you blessed far beyond others. Filled with the Spirit, you foretell the future, all generations will proclaim you blessed, he who is mighty did great things within you, choosing his mother. Peoples and nations ever sing your praises, Mother of Jesus, and their mother also, trusting as children in